I want to get this information out, but I don't know of anybody that agrees with my understanding of what the scriptures are saying in these three issues. But having studied through the verses on these topics, I found three threads of truth throughout these verses that we'll be covering anyway. And now we want to go back through these verses to identify and highlight each of those three threads of truth, to kind of distinguish them in our minds so we can focus on one at a time and not get them mixed up and the information about each of them mixed up. First of all, now when I'm talking about relief, I'm not saying, glad that's over, or it was hot, but now I'm in air conditioning, that's a relief. We're talking about the relief like an aid program. Relief to the body of, not to the body of Christ, relief to Israel in the Church of God in Jerusalem. They needed relief to get their next meal. They were poor saints, they're called in the Bible. They had given up all in, they had given up everything, sold all, brought the proceeds and laid them at the apostles' feet. And then the kingdom didn't come in. So the Lord didn't desert them. As we'll see, he assigned the body of Christ to take care of them until they died off through attrition. But first of all, relief from the body of Christ churches to the Church of God in Jerusalem. That's one thread of information in these verses. Secondly, leadership and revelation in the early body of Christ churches is a second thread to follow, and the revelation of the Pauline epistles is actually what it is, and Paul's statements, declarations about leadership in the churches. What are his statements, and what are not his statements that are, I guess, from Constantinianism, from Origen or Constantine. But the third thread, we can understand Paul's statements about women in his early body of Christ church meetings and the statements that he made in writing. In referring to the leadership, that thread, within the body of Christ churches, we need to rid our minds of preconceived ideas that we may have received from traditions, things we've been told by well-meaning pastors, well-meaning parents, or writers, authors, that left an unscriptural impression. We also need to identify which verses are actually talking about leadership and not talking about something else, or talking about serving or ministering as opposed to leadership, or not talking about a position or an office. And we'll get more into about biblical church leadership later in the study. But here we want to identify the main sources of church leadership information in Paul's epistles. And I'm going to list them, and you may have some more you think are about leadership, but that's what this study is about, actually. Philippians 3:17 gives some information about who are leaders in the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:7 is the second area of information. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, and 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. So we'll let's look at some of those at least. We'll look at Philippians 3:17. I see that's posted. That's great. Brethren, be followers together of me, Paul said. That's singular. Paul, just Paul. Because he was the only one that received the revelations from God. God gave our instructions to us through Paul. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us, that's plural, for an example, excuse me, an ensample, a portion of the body of Christ. So what's it saying? It's saying that Paul is the one to follow to God, or to Christ, and we're to mark those that walk like he did, because we have them, plural, for an example. Ensample. I did it again. Look at the next verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. So that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So those Thessalonians, in their belief, in their reception of the truth, they were ensamples. That's one thing to do, to believe the gospel that they heard. They heard the gospel of God in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 2, 8, and 9. Three times it stated that they heard the information about who Jesus is, the gospel of God. And then it says in chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 7, that they received the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ that Paul sent Timothy to preach to them, to minister to them, I think is the term used. So let's go on. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13, or 12 we'll start with. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. So there's three things there. The laborers, those that work, and it's used in another place, labor in the word and doctrine. So that's basically what he meant when he used that term in that context. Know them which labor among you and are over you. That's the second thing. They're over you in the Lord. And admonish you. Admonish would be warn or to preach to you. Let's go on to verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love. Not by law, but in love. For their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. In other words, don't fight what I'm saying to you. Let it be that way, and you'll be in God's will and experience peace. Going on to 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Is that where we are? Yeah. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Okay, now this is one of those places you don't want to, you want to purge any preconceived ideas about what an elder is. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So they rule something. What do they rule? We'll get that in later on too. In Acts 20:28, it's defined. But it's hidden. Have to go through some other verses to see it. Let the elders that rule well be counted of double honor. And what is this honor? If we go on to the next verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So he's talking about remuneration, or in the case of those that labor in the word and doctrine, it would be more like an honorarium. I suppose you could justify saying a salary. I don't know. I wouldn't be comfortable with with saying that, but I'm sure that there is some steady payment to some preachers that preach the truth and aren't affected by that. So I don't know. But what it's saying is those elders that do the job of an elder, defined in Acts 20:28, and they labor in the word and doctrine, in other words, teach what the Bible says and what Paul taught, the word and doctrine, they need to be this double honor, the honor that it's talking about here in, well, actually, the next verse, 1 Timothy 5:18, in the last part of it, there's a quote from Luke. It's the only place I know of that Paul quotes something from the New Testament. Luke, I'm trying to think, is it 10 verse 8, I think it is? The labor. So he's talking about his reward. He's talking about money there. Okay, let's go on. When we remove any unscriptural or preconceived ideas, we see that the topic of 1 Timothy 5:17 that we just looked at is exposed by the next verse, double honor. It does not refer to leadership in the assembly. It refers to the worthy elders receiving an honorarium, like we had mentioned. Why? For their serving the poor saints in Jerusalem. And as we go through these, I think it's 11 different situations in Paul's writings or in Luke, Paul's writings or in Acts, we'll see that it's specifically talking about those poor saints in Jerusalem. 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Words to Timothy from Paul, and it's what, three verses after it's in the context there of the verses before about double honor and serving, what was it, laboring and being worthy of the reward. So that's let's go on. We'll get into that more later. Let's start with the information Paul provided about the early relief. It was from the body of Christ churches, and it was to the Church of God in Jerusalem. And that's a narrow, it was a specific policy that God instituted and revealed to Paul, and Paul set up in the churches there, that they practiced it in the dispensation of the gospel, dispensing the gospel that was new to them, a new pattern, before the Church of God in Jerusalem died out, and it became, the gospel was the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. So these 11 events, 10 or 11, I'm going to list the verses. We'll get into them more after I list all 11, or 10 or 12. It's about 11. I think I recounted them once and they were a little different a week or two ago. But either 11 or so. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30 is where it starts. And it's also including Acts 12:25, and we don't have to look at these yet. We'll look at them as we get done with them. Acts 14, verses 21 to 23, ordained them elders in every church. The Lord was preparing for what was needed. That wasn't the first that they had been ordained, as we'll see. Galatians 2, verses 9 and 10, we should remember the poor, which we were only too glad to. I forget the wording, but that's a brief statement there. After Paul's stating of two gospels, two commissions, and two apostleships. Galatians 2, 1 through, or I guess verse 2 through 9, then you get to 10, and it says only that we should remember the poor, is the quote. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, just a brief statement there among, you know, pray without ceasing those brief exhortations. There's the exhortation, support the weak. And remember the weak. In 1 Corinthians, when they got flushed out of the synagogue for believing the gospel of God, they had to meet together or else not meet. And so the weak, those that had been raised as Jews in apostate synagogues, and they heard Paul preach the gospel of God, that Jesus was their Messiah, they believed it. Well, they weren't body of Christ people. They didn't even hear the gospel of Christ yet. They were, what would you call them, completed Jews? Converted, I guess, is the term that Paul uses, converted Jews. So they were the weak, and the ones that had the liberty that they could abuse and hurt those weak ones were the ones that had the liberty were the body of Christ. Okay, next verses. 1 Corinthians, there's a whole lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 about this. He says in one place, I have given order, so do ye. Talking about those giving, collecting and transporting the money and giving it to the Church of God in Jerusalem. He says, verse 3, your liberality unto Jerusalem, he names Jerusalem. Submit yourselves unto such. That's in the collecting and giving and distributing of the money. Those who addicted themselves to serving the poor saints in the Church of God in Jerusalem. That's, I forget their names. There were two that uses that term. Those who addicted themselves to serving God. In the matter of giving the money to the church in Jerusalem. Okay, next verses would be 2 Corinthians. Okay, a series of verses here. Chapter 8, verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 10. Verse 12, verse 13. And it's actually that whole series there of verses from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9, 15 is about that topic. So ministering to the saints is mentioned in 8, 4 and 9, 1. This service supplieth the want of the saints. And that term, the want of, is used again in Titus. That they supply the things that are wanting. Talking about that same, the policy to keep the church fed in Jerusalem. That's in 2 Corinthians 9:12. Then liberal distribution it's talking about. That's verse 13, 2 Corinthians 9:13. All right, we get into Romans. We've got, I think, five more here, starting with Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. A lot of these you've heard, but probably never even connected them to the Acts, the Church of God in Jerusalem. Romans 15, verses 25 to 27. minister unto the saints. It says, I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. A certain contribution for the saints, the poor saints. Their debtors they are. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. In the same context as a certain contribution for the poor saints. Okay, Acts 20, verses 17, 28, and 33 to 35. We find these statements. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. And then he goes on in verse 35, that's Acts 20, 28. Verse 35 says, so laboring, you ought to support the weak. And the last two, this is the next to last one, is 1 Timothy 2, verse 8 through 3, verse 16. So it goes from chapter 2, verse 8 through chapter 3, verse 16. And he talks about it's a good work. Take care of the church of God, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Which one? The church of the living God. Well, church of God would be the church of God. And with, you know, there's an adjective to it too, but I don't have it, the text in front of me here about that one. But let's go to the last one, Titus 1:5. This is a crucial verse to understand what Paul is talking about when he called down the elders. Remember in Acts 20, verse 17, he called down to Miletus the elders from up in Ephesus, and he gave them that chapter 20 instructions, all those instructions, including the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Who did he make overseers? Not you and me. It was the ones that had been ordained as elders. That was their giving them their job description. They're overseers to feed the church of God. So, in Titus 1, verses 5 and 7, we see, set in order the things that are wanting. Remember, we saw that term before, that there were supplieth the want of the saints. Well, Paul tells Titus to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders. So elders, again, it's connected with that function to collect and distribute the money from the, collect from the body of Christ the money to feed those in the church of God in Jerusalem. And they're called stewards of God. Let me just look that up. I think we need to see. Can we post Titus 1, verse 5, and then verse 7? For this cause I left thee in Crete, Paul talking to Titus, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting. So there was some, either they were going to take a trip from Crete to Jerusalem to deliver their part of the contribution, or there were some scattered Jews that were in Crete that were penniless still, and, you know, below the poverty level, they would say here, I guess. But for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So, no, he's not saying as I ordained thee. Titus is not an elder. Titus is the pastor at the church there, or the leader at the church. A more scriptural term. Where was I? Ordain elders. He's talking about these elders, like the ones in Ephesus, that came down to Miletus and were told that they were to feed, they were to oversee the, let me get the right wording here. overseers to feed the Church of God. Church of God is Israel portion. All right, still have a little more to go here. I think we have, we can take the time to. Let's go back and look at, and we're going to preview some of the verses that are more specific about this topic. And there are a lot of others that are confirming verses that agree, none of them that disagree, but these are the specific verses that lay out the functions of elders. Verse 25 in Romans 15. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to mention in Titus 1:5 that's still posted there. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Paul talking to Titus. He's to ordain elders, for a bishop must be blameless. How did he get on to the bishop? It's another word for elder. Elder is the man, an older person. Bishop is the function. It's to oversee. It's the same word as Paul used in Acts 20:28 to oversee the feeding of the to feed the Church of God. I don't know why it keeps slipping out of my mind, but. it'll happen to you someday. All right, Romans 15:25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And then in verse 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. How much more specific could it be? You can't really twist that any way to make it say the poor saints on Skid Row or the poor Americans or, you know, some other way. It's talking about those poor Jewish believers in the Jewish Kingdom Church at Jerusalem that had sold all, gave it to the apostles and to distribute as needed, and it ran out. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16:3. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So he's talking about the same thing there. But there's a new term that comes up here. This is 1 Corinthians written in Acts 19. When I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters. So you've got some people that are approved. Them will I send. So it's the them that he's talking about. Them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So there, I think that's an early reference to elders, probably before they were named as elders. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. That's 1 Corinthians 16:3. Here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, another crucial passage, Paul is talking to those named as elders. These are people that are already named as elders in Ephesus. And they're from the body of Christ church in Ephesus there, not from the synagogue or anything like that. They're from the body of Christ gathering or assembly. And he says in verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, talking to these elders, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. And that's the same word as bishop in Titus 1:7, that elders are, he speaks of the same people by the two different terms. Elders are the bishops, and the bishops a bishop is an overseer, and that's the term used here in this verse, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you, you elders, overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And then down to verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. There it is again. And to remember the words of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And those are, that's a statement of the Lord Jesus that's only in Paul's epistles. It's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But we know it's true. It's inspired. Paul was inspired to write it. Apostle Paul wrote these to the Corinth church, the believers, the saved believers in Corinth, and it was in his second, what's called 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, these are four verses from chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. As it is written, he hath dispensed, that's a good word, right in the scriptures there, he hath dispensed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this this ministration, or this serving up of the food money, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Let's go down, it's actually back to 1 Corinthians, last chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's the people I was talking about, Stephanas. Stephanas. And they didn't have to be preached into it, you know, or coerced in any way. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such. So there's where leadership comes in again, at least during that dispensation of the gospel, when this function was in effect. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. That's a bigger group there, isn't it? Everyone that helpeth with us, with Paul and Sosthenes was with Paul, I believe, in that first epistle, and Silas, I think, and laboreth, everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. All right, how much more do we have? I don't want to go too late here. Well, we get about halfway into. Oh no. We're kind of at a breaking point here. I'm going to put a break here that I didn't have before. And we'll stop here for tonight. We're going to get into the detailed look of each of these, starting in Acts 11.